Okay. Thank you so much. It is so wonderful to be here. I can't tell you what a delight it is to have an opportunity on Hanukkah just to sit with our wonderful students, student leaders. We're all leaders. That's unofficially. and talk. Learn a little bit and talk a little bit about life. Certainly appropriate on Hanukkah these times. I know that you have busy days these days, studying and preparing, and it's a good time to also take a break to reflect a little bit. And so I wanted to have a chance to do that with you today. You know, sometimes the people you meet affect you a lot, even when you don't expect it. You know, one of the things about being president of YU is I meet interesting people that I don't, I get prepared, but I don't even know at times like the effect that somebody's going to have or not have. So very recently, I met this guy. He's the CEO of a real estate firm. I walk into his office. I mentioned this last night. I walk into his office, and he has a Sefer Torah in a glass case right at the entrance of his office. And I said to him, like, why do you have this, like, this whole Sefer Torah? When you walk in, the guy has, like, 7,000 employees. Okay? Right when you walk in, so there's a Sefer Torah. I'm like, why do you have a Sefer Torah? He goes, Rabbi, the Torah is our mission statement. This whole company is about the Torah. You know, every mitzvah in the Torah is love. And that's how we shape the culture. You know, the chesed that we do, the awards that we give, it's all around chesed, it's all around the values of the Torah. We try to be Makadei Shemai. I'm like, whoa. That's what we're trying to do. You know, and have our students go out and do that. And I was just so blown away by this guy who was doing it in the world. You know, and how he said everything comes from Hashem, it's all from Hashem, and everything we're doing is from Hashem. It's for and from. So, I was very inspired by him. And I wanted to share some thoughts that actually emerge related to Hanukkah, this parsha. Very much tied to the story, and it goes to the Avos Animos. So if we go to, you open up to Lamed Zayin Perek Yudalad, the parsha we just read, Lamed Zayin Perek Yudalad. So we see a famous story of Yosef and his father. And I have to say, when I read it this year, for some reason, I could be that I'm getting older. I had such heartbreak. You know, you think about Yaakov Avinu thinking that he lost his son. You know, I mean, it's just so painful. So, and Pasuk Yudalad, Yaakov says to Yosef, V'yom lo, leich na re'e et shlom achecha, et shlom hatzon, v'ashiveni davar, yushlechem me'emek chavron v'yavo shchema. He said, go and check on your brothers. Okay? Yaakov asks Yosef, go to Shechem, check on your brothers. So Yosef agrees and he goes to check on his brothers and see how they're doing, knowing, of course, what his brothers feel about him. Okay, Yosef goes and checks on his brothers. V'imtze'eu ish v'inei to'ev asadeh. And a man finds Yosef, and behold, Yosef is wandering in the field. V'yishaleo ha'ish lemor ma tivakesh. And the ish asks Yosef, what do you seek? And who is this Ish? Who is the Ish? That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the Ish that he just happens to meet. So who is the Ish that he happens to meet? What would you say?
Rashi says it's
a
Malach and
Gabriel. So Rashi says it's a Malach and it's Gabriel. Okay? Rashi says it's a Malach and it's Gabriel. So I want to talk about that. But before I do, I just love the question, Matibakesh. Especially if it's Gabriel. Like a malach asks, what do you seek? You know, and you could read it as just like, oh, what are you looking for? Or core existential Yosef. What do you seek? And what does Yosef answer? Et achai anochi mevakesh. I seek my brothers. He's never had that in his life. He's never had that. But that's what he seeks. That's what Yosef really seeks. So the Ish tells him where his brothers, or the people that are his brothers, are, you know, and he goes and he gets sold, and we know the story. Focusing on the Ish for Samuel Bella, where else do you have in Bereishis, where you have anonymous people appearing at times in the lives of the Avos? Where else do you have?
Yeah. The refugee from Abraham, the Kapalit, who comes and tells him about the four kings and the five kings.
That is great. That is great. The refugee who comes, the Palit who comes to tell Abraham. I didn't even think of that. That is good. I'm going to add that to my list. But that is great. All of a sudden, this Palit comes to Abraham. That is great. Where else do you see it? That's great.
When the Malachim come to tell Abraham about the birth of Yitzchak.
So very similarly, Shlosha Anashim, three Anashim appear. So I didn't think of the Palit, but I think you're right. The Palit is also a good example. I'll just think of the word. So Shlosha Anashim, three Anashim appear to Abraham to tell him about the birth of Yitzchak. Where else do you see Anashim appear? Yeah.
With Yaakov and that Ish when he goes to back.
Whatever, by Yaakov Levado. The Yaakov Levado, right? Mitavek Ishimo. So there's a Ish that appears. That, who are these Anashim? Now, in each of these places, what does Rashi say? They're Malachim. You know, it's Michael, it's Gabriel, it's Raphael. It's all these Malachim. But what I'd like to suggest is a second layer of understanding of these Anashim. Okay? And it goes back to the point of the lives of each of these people. Why are these people appearing in Avram, Yaakov, and Yosef's lives at this very time? So if you look at Avram, why are the Shlosha Anashim appearing? Is this the first time that Avram hears about the Yitzchak was being born? Is this the first time he hears about it? Where else does what is it, where does Avram hear that Yitzchak is going to be born?
Yitzchak specifically, or children in general?
Or Yitzchak, really? That he's going to have a son from Leah. Where does he first hear that he's going to have a son from Leah? From Leah, from Sarah. So in the Brit Ben Abtarm, right before, he's told that he's going to have a son. And, you know, from Sarah, and he's going to have a baby, and Baruch Hashem, after all these years. And what does Avram answer when he hears that he's going to have a son? Remember what he answers? It's like, it's the end of a parsha, so it's not as focused on. So if you look at Perek Yizayin, Pasuk Yudayin. So he's told, Vayipol Avraham al panav. Avram falls on his face. Yitzchak, and he laughs. Vayomer b'libo, halaben mea shana yivaleid v'msra habat tishim shana teled. Will have a child at 100 and Sarah is 90. Vayomer Avraham el Elokim, and Avram says to Hashem, Lu Yishmael yichel lefanecha. Just let Yishmael live before. What does it mean, Lu Yishmael yichel lefanecha?
Means he gave up.
He said, I'm okay with Yishmael. Avram's reaction was that Sarah was going to have a baby who was going to be the heir was, I'm okay with Yishmael. Lu Yishmael yichel lefanecha. And Hashem says, yes, but Yitzchak is going to be your heir. All of a sudden, at the beginning of the next parsha, three Anashim appear, and they come to Abraham, and they tell him that he's going to have a child. Why are they coming and telling him that? Yeah.
Maybe to add an element of hope that he shouldn't give up on the fact that he might have another kid from Sarah.
To add an element of hope that he shouldn't give up, that he's going to have a child from Sarah. Yeah, so there's something that Avram is, there's something here that, I'd say the most surprising part of the story, what is Sarah's reaction when she overhears the Malach, or the Anashim tell Avraham about the child that will come?
Did she also laugh?
She laughs. Isn't that surprising? Why didn't she know about it before?
Well, if Avram had given up, then maybe he just didn't think that it was necessary to share that with her. Like, he thought it was that, like, not, like, he didn't think it was realistic.
Yeah, he didn't tell her. He found out from Hashem he was going to have a son with Sarah, and he didn't tell her. This is the first she's hearing about. So, what happened was that Avram was about to miss his destiny. His destiny was to have Yitzchak. And for whatever reason, maybe he gave up hope, or his love of Ishmael, for whatever reason, there was a moment there that he, you know, was a little lost. Toeh. He was wandering a little bit. He was a little lost. And the Shlosha Anashim appear to put him back on track, to put him on the path. The story of Yaakov. What was going on with Yaakov when Yaakov was left alone? Why was Yaakov left alone and the Ish appeared? Why did the Ish appear? What was the story there?
You go to Rashi, he was going to get Pachim Tanim, and he left on the other side of the river when they were going back to see it. To reunite.
So one way, according to Rashi, that he, remember the story. Esav was, Yaakov is coming back to Israel, and he sends out messengers to Esav, who he assumes might be angry with him. And he gets back, he goes, oh, Esav knows you're coming, and he's bringing 400 warriors with him. Okay, so what is Yaakov's reaction, obviously? He's afraid. Because what this means is that Esav is coming to kill him. Right? Esav was angry with him. So Yaakov devises this strategy of presence and tefillah and dividing the camp, you know, to prepare for each possibility. And then in the middle of the night, we're told that he crosses the river to get Rasha, to get the Pachim Ketan. Why is he crossing the river all of a sudden? In the middle of the night. Yeah.
Seems like he's running away.
Yeah. So the Rashbam says is that he's running away. And that actually this whole thing was a plan. Meaning what he did was he sent the presents. Like, there are a lot of roads you could take. So he sent the presents and the camel, you know, on one road to get Esav to follow. And he said, he told him to say, these are presents for you, Esav, and there's more coming. So Esav was directed, you know, there wasn't ways then. So Esav was directed to follow a certain path in order to get to Yaakov, which left Yaakov other paths where he knew that he can escape. Now, Yaakov spent his whole life maneuvering and figuring out a way to accomplish his goals. Like, he figured out a way to accomplish his goals and help by his mother, you know, in each time. But what he really needed to do at this moment was confront Esav. He needed to confront Esav. He needed to confront Esav for himself, for his own development. And he needed to confront Esav for his destiny to unfold. And he was not going to. He was going to run away. So, an Ish appears and wrestles with him. Why does the Ish wrestle with him in this Perush, according to this this approach? Why is the Ish wrestling with him?
Track.
To stop him from leaving. And he dislocated his hip, so he couldn't leave. He was wrestling with him to hold him. And when the light came, so Esav was coming, so he could let him go. So if without the Ish, Yaakov would have missed his moment of destiny that he needed to be. And the Ish is the one who stopped him and held him back and allowed him to confront Esav, become, you know, as afterwards, it was the wrestling with the angel that became Yisrael, changed his name, and got the Brit Ben Haftarim, the Birkat Abraham. You know, it was the Ish that did it. And now you have, yeah.
But if we're saying, like we say that Yisrael was because he fought with Amalek and won, how did he win if he still ended up meeting Esav?
Yeah, is Sarita Im Elokim V'im Anashim, he wrestled with Anashim. With God and with man.
So that's different.
So the question is, who is Anashim? It could be Esav. You know, and even when Rashi says the Sar Shel Esav, meaning there's a direct confrontation happening here. You know, and it's really, it's talk about a midah in life. Like, it's very important to know, you know, how to maneuver in a right way. It's very important. But it's also very important to be able to deal with things directly. It's very hard to deal with things directly. Difficult conversations are hard to have. You know, and I see this, I mean, you see this throughout your life in different times. Certainly in my position, I see this, you know, not infrequently. You know, difficult conversations they're hard. You know, you have to have them with love. You know, you have to have them with kindness as a way of doing things. You know, but and that's actually what happened. Like, Yaakov gave him presents, and he gave him love, and he gave him, you know, and then Esav, who ostensibly was coming to kill him, you know, turned. But if they never met each other, that wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have been resolved. You know, so sometimes you need to learn how to do that. You know, or you can't meet your destiny and become the person you need to become. You know, so here in a very real way, the Ish, you know, helped Yaakov develop and became Yisrael. Right? That's the whole thing about Yaakov. He became Yisrael. And then you have poor Yosef, who's wandering in the field, seeking his brothers. What a harsh destiny that he had. You know, life's paths aren't easy. And he had to, but that was what had to happen to him. You know, he had to get down to Egypt. You know, the famine had to happen. You know, he was the Mashber. I mean, there's so many things in this story. But here he was being Toeb Basadeh. He was wandering in the field. He was lost. And then an Ish appears and gives him direction. And even though it's not the direction that he would have ever, nobody would choose that for themselves. You know, in the end of the story, at the very end, it's a whole other development. He actually finds what he seeks. At the very end of the story, he actually finds his brothers all the way at the end of Vayechi. So hard, but he had to go through to get there. He found his brothers. He found what he really was looking for his whole life. You know, he really connected. He spoke to their hearts, and they spoke to his all the way at the end of the story. A lot of development there. It's not for now. Maybe we could do this a different time. We could talk about that. Okay, but what you have is this person who's Toeb Basadeh, who's wandering in the field, looking for his brothers, and an Ish appears and allows him to meet and enables him to meet his destiny. And that's what I think you have in all of Sefer Breishit. What you have in Sefer Breishit is people who is Anashim, anonymous Anashim, or, you know, who appear, who help the Avot and Imahot accomplish what they need to get to. Now, on some level, maybe they're malachim, Raphael, Michael, Gabriel. And the way that I like to think about it is I like to think about them as people. And people who do a shlichut, people who do a shlichut from Hashem are malachim. What is a malach? A malach is someone is doing a shlichut of Hashem. So anyone who's engaged in a shlichut, in a mission about helping other people achieve their destiny, you know, they're malachim. And if you think about it in this way, you know, it very much applies to our lives. And this is true in like a double way. First of all, the people in our lives. You know, I remember when I first thought of this, I kept on thinking to myself, who are the malachim in my life? Like, who are the people in our lives that enable us to meet our destiny? You know, and they could be people that are very close to us, you know, like our family, you know, our siblings, our parents, you know, close friends. It could be something very close to us. And it could be like this, like a guy appearing out of nowhere. I actually feel that about this guy who I met with the Torah in the middle of the room. Like, he taught me so much. It was a real instantiation of what we're trying to do. There you have this guy. Like, doing it was like, brings it to a head. You know, and it just appeared. I'm saying literally, like, out of nowhere. You know, and that's what, and we have that in our lives. Like, people just, you know, it could be a teacher. You know, a mechanechet, a rabbi. It could be a teacher. You know, here in Stern College, for example, or in Israel, you know, it could be a teacher. Like, people that are there, that drop in your lives, and it could be they stay with you in your lives. You know, and that's like, who are the, you know, both known and unknown, you know, and to acknowledge that, and to recognize that, and to thank them. You know, that's one layer of this. But the other layer is, how do we be that to others? How do we be that to others? I remember when I was at the Jewish Center, I was a rabbi of a shul called the Jewish Center. Anybody know the Jewish Center?
It has like 7 floors.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah. It was pretty fun, actually. Yeah. Yeah, but I was trying to do, they have a gym, and they have all these different floors, like a theater. When I came, they had a swimming pool that it stopped. It was not in good shape. And then we pulled it out. But that was also that added. There's a lot of different things in the Jewish Center. And I remember somebody telling me the following story. The story is, I said, this chassid came to his rebbe and said, you know, all of my friends have seen malachim. And like, his friends tell these stories about, you know, they're walking in the field and they see a malach. And he said to the rabbi, I've never seen a malach. What do? I want to see a malach. So the rabbi said, I'll tell you what you do. It's before Rosh Hashanah. I'm giving you an address all the way, you know, through the woods, the valleys, the hills. Bring all this food with you. Okay, there's a family that lives in that, a little hut, you know, in that place. Bring all this food. Go over there. Tell them I sent you. You know, that you're spending Rosh Hashanah there. Okay? And you'll see a malach when you're there. So the guy packs the clothes, packs the food, packs everything with him. You know, he goes up the mountains, through the valleys, through the woods. And he gets to this little broken down hovel. And he knocks on the door. And a woman with small kids about her, you know, unkempt, says, you know, yes, how can I? She goes, I'm here to spend Rosh Hashanah with you. I brought all the food. And the rabbi says, I should be here. She goes, great. You know, come. He comes. He spends the day in contemplation. He's waiting. See the malach. He's waiting all day. Second day, see the malach. And see the malach. Comes back, mountains, through the woods, goes up the hills, goes to the Rebbe and says, I understand, you told me that I'd see a Malach. I did everything you said. I did everything you said, I didn't see the Malach. So he said, you know what? Do the same thing, pack the same stuff. Go Erev Yom Kippur. I am sure this time you're going to see the Malach. Spend Yom Kippur there, I'm sure you're going to see the Malach. Packs up his stuff, up the mountains, through the woods, down the valley, goes to the hovel. And right before he knocks on the door, he hears the little kids crying and saying to their mother, what are we going to eat? We have no food. We have nothing to eat. And the mother said, don't worry. Just like Hashem sent a Malach before Rosh Hashanah, he's going to send a Malach before Yom Kippur. And the lesson from the story is that if you want to see a Malach, be a Malach. Just be a Malach for other people. Until you see a Malach, you can look in the mirror. You be a Malach for other people. So this is what this guy with the Sefer Torah said to me. He said, everyone who crosses your path should be better because of it. Everybody who crosses your path should be better because of it. When you have a waiter come towards you, look him in the eye and you say, thank you. Like every single person who crosses your path, like you should be, we should be thinking, how can I be a Malach for other people? How can I spread kindness? How can I spread chesed? How can I help other people? Which then modeling for them, and then they continue it on, help them achieve their destiny and become the people they need to be. You know, just by the acts. And how do we do that with the people that are unknown to us and the people that are known to us? You know, our close family, our circles, and our friends. And how are not just we recognize the Malachim around us, how do we be Malachim for those around us? You know, and I think that is so central to what Hanukkah is about. This double layer. You know, both trying to be it for others and seeing who's around us, who others are for us. One of the unusual aspects of the mitzvah, how do we celebrate Hanukkah? So we light the candles and, you know, facing outwards so other people see it. Right? And the Gemara says there's also a Birchas Haroeh. If other people see your candle, and this, you know, in Psak Halacha, it's unclear when they should do it, but they should make a bracha on seeing the, let's say they can't light or they can't, they should see, they see your candle, they make, what bracha do they make? They make Sha'asa Nisim, right? They don't make Mahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, they make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim, the great miracles. It's very unusual. If you see somebody else perform the mitzvah lulav, right, do you make a bracha on the mitzvah lulav? If you see somebody else eat matzah, right, do you make a bracha on eating matzah? But in, when it comes to lighting candles, it's first of all, if you do it, you say a bracha, two brachot, lahadlik ner and sha'asa nisim. And if you see it in some situations, then you also can make a bracha of sha'asa nisim labotenu, especially if you can't light, etc. Why is that the case? So I think that this is very much entrenched in the message of Hanukkah. Which is Hanukkah is certainly about being a light to other people. Right? That's the, you're being a farsim nes. You're lighting a candle so other people can be impacted. You know, you're bringing good, you're bringing values into the world, which is what we're all about. Right? And you're trying to impact and light a candle for other people. Okay, that is core. That's core to everything we're doing. About being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Barabim, going out into the world, right? You're learning how to be the best, you know, taking the best of yourselves, you know, all your talents and skills and applying it in the way to impact and be influential and have an influence on others in both ways, big and small, right? That's the clearest lighting candles. But interestingly, it's not just when you light candles. When you're walking around, you should acknowledge those who impact you. When you see somebody's candles that impacted you, you also make a bracha. Meaning it's about being an angel to others and acknowledging the angels that are around you. The people that are shining their light and at moments in your darkness that give you warmth, you know, and that help you to achieve your destiny and to help you fill your days with light and meaning. Like, there's this duality of Hanukkah, you know, both on our lighting and just seeing, you know, and recognizing and acknowledging other people. You know, I was very struck, and with this I'll close, just wanted a short time to spend learning and talking with you. So last night, I was really struck by one of the stories. The story that Benny Friedman told about, is everybody here? Was everybody there at the couch last night? So he told the story before his song of B'Shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Nimini Michael, Mismali Gabriel, right? So he told the story where he met this chayal. I think he said at an airport, who said that he was scared three times in his life. So it's a very personal. Like when you bring up chayalim, you know, I have a son. I have three sons who are chayalim, but one who was Kravi, my nephews, my neighbors in Neve Daniel, friends. Well, this is very personal when he started talking about that. And he told the story about the soldiers walking through a potential minefield and how they needed to, they kept arm's lengths from one another, like 10 feet away from each other, so that, you know, if somebody trips up, you know, they take the brunt of the explosion and it doesn't hit somebody else. Let me tell you, that is, that's not something just to say. That is like really like, I mean, this happens. So, and then he turned it into a story about, you know, Hashem protecting us, Hashem, you know, that the angels are around us and Hashem protects them. But, and that's true, all of that. But what I thought is that, you know, the people in there, in that unit, like there's actually somebody on the right side of you. His name might be Michal. And there's Gavi who's on the left side of you. And there's Rafi who's in front of you. And Uri who's behind you. Okay, these are people. These anashim, these malachim, are anashim. This isn't a mystical, spiritual being. These are people that are walking in the field with you. Okay, this is your unit, who your life literally depends on. You know, and that's, you know, that's like an image of life. Like, who are you with? Like, who are your people? Who are the people that have your, you know, who are standing behind you, standing in front of you? They're like, when you're in the battlefield, that are standing on the side of you, that are walking with you through life. Right? This is the anashim. These are the malachim. This is Hanukkah. These are the people you're lighting candles to, and that you're being enhanced from their candle. And this really is life. You know, and it's funny because I'm at a age where people, my peers, are having parties for birthdays that are significant. And what I found is that a lot of them are with my friends from YU. Like, these are the people that I've walked through life with. You know, these are the people that you're with, you know, 5, 10, 20, 30. These are the people you walk through life. You know, it's your family, it's your siblings, it's your close friends, people who had similar life. These are the people you trust, the people who, you know, whose loyalty and, you know, profound. When you walk through life with someone, like, you experience all the layers together. You know, and of course your spouse, the closest. Right? These are the people you walk through life. You know, and when he said that story, I'm like, that's the malachim, that's the anashim, that's bracious. You know, and the key of that is that va'aroshi shchinat kel. Right? With all your people you're walking through life, that Hashem is above you. And that you're cognizant of Hashem being above you. And all of this stuff with all of your friends and all of your peers, the malachim and anashim, the known and the unknown, it's all directed towards avodat Hashem, towards serving Hashem. Because the Torah is the mission statement. And everything we have is because of Him. And everything we do is for Him. It's our glass case that is out, you know, in the center of our lives. You know, and that certainly when it comes to the Breshit and the Avot, with all of the stories and interlocking stories, it's the Ma'ar Roshi Shechinat Kel as the direction and the focus, which gives us meaning and gives us purpose. And that's Hanukkah, that's Breshit, and that is our lives. So I just wanted to take this time to share and to talk with you. We can turn off the if anybody wants to...